Yeah, I'd like to thank all the organizers for inviting me and giving me an opportunity to speak. The work that I will be discussing is all joint with Edward Frenkel. And I should also mention that there was a conference in Banff about 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago now, on this stuff, and when these results were reported there, and when we were there, we were told by Arkady Weintraub that some of these results were also obtained independently by him, using somewhat other methods. So results similar to those of okay. So I would like to begin just by giving a few words of motivation about, and also introduce the Kyrle-Durham complex. So here X will be smooth variety over the complex numbers, and the Kyrle-Durham complex, which I will denote as follows, omega Kyrle X, this is a sheaf of vertex algebras on X. Okay, so all this means is that this is a sheaf of graded vector spaces such that for every open U, the space of sections is a vertex algebra. Okay, and so why is this object interesting? Well, the motivation comes from physics, is that it's believed that the cohomology of this sheaf is in some sense related to the chiral algebra of the sigma model compactified on the variety X. So the sigma model is a conformal field theory that physicists naturally associate to a manifold, to a variety X with some extra data specified. So the statement is not really meant to be precise, but in fact, you may have to take some sort of large radius limit or something like that to make sense of this. But all right, so, and the reason why this thing is interesting to study is because this algebra, this vertex algebra, this cohomology here, captures some sort of geometric, stringy geometric invariant of the variety X, so ordinary as well as stringy. Geometric invariants of X. So for instance, this is not necessarily all that exciting, but you can certainly recover the cohomology ring of the variety from this vertex algebra. And I guess what's more interesting is that, for instance, the elliptic genus can also be recovered from this vertex algebra. So what is the elliptic genus? Well, sort of a mess to define. There are both one variable and two variable versions of the elliptic genus. I'm going to define the sort of the two-variable one, which is in some sense more general, and if you specialize in one of the variables, you obtain a modular form for the second congruent subgroup attached to every manifold X. So, and there are generalizations for sort of complex cobordism and other things. But so, for instance, the elliptic genus is, so it's going to be an expression in two variables. It's the Euler characteristic of a certain big bundle. And I don't know, let's call it E. I'll write down what this bundle is. So it's a bit of a mess the way it's usually defined. Okay, so it's, you take you take a certain generating function, here omega x is the holomorphic tangent cotangent sheaf, and this thing is, it's probably going to take me half an hour just to write this thing down, but this is the tangent sheaf. And then we also have to tensor in symmetric powers of these, of the cotangent and tangent sheaves. So okay, so this is a big bundle. This is a formal expression whose it's a formal power series whose coefficients are certain tensor powers of the tangent and cotangent bundle. If we take the Euler characteristic of this thing, we just get a series in two variables. If we further specialize that series at y equals minus 1, we'll get a modular form for gamma 0 of 2. And the point, the reason I wrote this down is because one can show that that the elliptic genus, which in this form is sort of a nasty, is just really the partition function of this vertex algebra, just the graded trace of this vertex algebra. Okay, so this corresponds again to the physical notion that the elliptic genus should somehow just be the partition function of a conformal field theorem. Okay, so let me just briefly recall how the chiral Durham complex is constructed. So this is the creators of this thing are Malikov, Schrickmann, and Weintraub. This is around 98, I think. So the construction I'm going to give you is equivalent, though it's not the one. This is not the phrasing they use. So here, dn, you should think of this as the n disk, is just going to be the spectrum of formal power series in n variables. We're essentially going to construct this thing by using the Ellington-Bernstein localization. So the automorphism group of this formal disk here I'm going to define an infinite dimensional group, which is in fact a pro-algebraic group in the sense that Professor Kumar explained, which is just the automorphisms of the continuous automorphisms of this algebra. And I introduced some Lie algebras also. Wn will stand for the vector fields on this disk. So in other words, the derivations of this algebra. So and inside of here are those vector fields which vanish at the origin. Okay, and these vector fields vanishing at the origin are precisely the Lie algebra of the automorphisms of the of the disk fixing the origin. So so these are the Lie algebras that we need. And then Malikov, Schrickmann, and Weintraub, they introduce a certain vertex algebra, which I'm not going to define, but this is something which is usually known as the beta gamma system in n variables. I should have said that x is of dimension n here. So the variety, let's write it here. The variety x we're dealing with is of dimension n. This is a beta gamma system in n generators, tensored n free fermions. So sorry if this is not so descriptive, but And actually, they have to take a certain completion of this, but it's sort of not really important. And what they show is the following. They show that there exists a Lie algebra homomorphism, rho, from the Lie algebra vector fields on the n-dimensional formal disks to the endomorphisms of this vertex algebra such that the action exponentiates over the positive part of the vector fields vanishing at zero to vertex algebra automorphisms such that the action of Wn plus exponentiates to vertex algebra automorphisms. Okay, so now we can construct the chiral Durham complex, and it's constructed as follows. We can yes, essentially. You have to complete in the zero modes of the bosons. So we can consider a certain Harish-Chandra bundle over our variety X here. It consists of pairs of a point and xi's, I go from 1 to n, where xi's are formal coordinates on spec of the completion of the local ring at x. So by formal coordinates, I mean a minimal set of n topological generators for this completed local ring, which is isomorphic to formal power series in n variables. So this structure here is actually a principal bundle for this infinite dimensional group ought n O. And so what we can do now is we can form the associated bundle. We know that this is a principal bundle for ought n O. It acts on the same group acts on the vertex algebra, so we can take the associated bundle. So we can define omega tilde chiral of X to be omega hat n. So this bundle is not just a principal bundle. It's something called the Harish-Chandra structure. So not only does ought n O act, but the entire Lie algebra of vector fields on the formal disk, which of course includes the Lie algebra of this thing, but also has the constant translations, the constant vector fields, acts on the total space of this bundle. So when you take the associated sheaf here, this becomes a D-module. So this is... And so you can take the zero theorem cohomology sheaf, which is just a subsheaf of flat sections. So we'll define the chiral Durham complex to be, I don't know if this notation is standard, but zero Durham subsheaf of this thing here. So just the sheaf of flat sections. Okay, and this object here, this is exactly what the chiral Durham complex is. Now I have, this is the untwisted case, so I haven't said anything new. Now, let's talk about orbit folds. So if we have a variety X with a group action, now let's just take a finite group action. Actually, our results go through for an arbitrary orbit fold, but it's just easier to talk about global quotients here. So now X will carry an action of G. This is a finite group. So physicists are happy to consider a sigma model, another conformal field theory, with targets, the orbifold or stack X mod G. So we can consider sigma model with target X mod G. Okay, now what you'd like to do is you'd like to, if you believe that the vertex algebra in some sense is the space of states for the sigma model, or at least for the vacuum sector of the sigma model, you'd like to construct the Hilbert space, the Fock space of the orbifold model. So want to construct Hilbert space of orbifold model. Now, the physicists essentially tell us what to do in such a case. So, we say the orbifold Hilbert space should be, you take the ordinary Hilbert space with target x, you take the g invariants in there, and then you adjoin a bunch of twisted sectors, one for each conjugacy class. So let C be a set of conjugacy classes in G. Then you have to adjoin sort of a twisted sector, which I'll denote H upper G, for each conjugacy class. So what Frenkel and I did is we constructed these twisted sectors geometrically in the same spirit that the chiral Durham complex was originally constructed. And the punchline is somehow that whereas the ordinary chiral Durham complex recovers geometric invariants of the variety X, this Hilbert space we will define will recover certain stringy sort of orbifold invariants, such as the graded additive structure of Chenoine orbifold cohomology and also the orbifold elliptic genus. So again, let me give you, try to outline this construction. We can look at the, if we take an element G in big G, we can, and a connected component of the fixed point locus, we'll denote it X upper G alpha, so this is the fixed point component. So if P is a point in the fixed point component, then actually the group generated by G acts on the tangent space of X to P at that point, and it's going to split, and we can diagonalize that action, and we're going to obtain a bunch of eigenvalues. So with eigenvalues e to the 2 pi I m1 mg. Mg is the order of the group element here. Mn over mg. I will normalize the m1 through mn such that they lie between 0 and mg. Okay, so given this list of rational numbers, what we can do now is we can construct a certain twisted module, a G-twisted module for the vertex algebra omega hat n that was defined by Malikov, Shachtman, and Weintraub. So let me see. Out of M1, Mg, I give you this list of numbers, can construct G-twisted omega hat n module, I'll go down to omega hat n upper G, and right, okay, so, and then the construction can proceed similarly, meaning we can look at a certain twisted version of the Harish-Chandra bundle that we were talking about before. This consists of pairs of a point, and again, coordinates, but we're going to require that the coordinates are special, and I'll explain what that means in a second. So, xi special and what this means is that in these coordinates, the action of G, the stabilizer, is diagonal. So xi composed with G inverse is e to the 2 pi I m I over mg xi. Okay, so these are not all coordinates. These are certain special coordinates. This is a principal bundle for sort of a twisted version of the automorphism group of the formal disk, which I will denote aut n g. These are the automorphisms which precisely commute with the action of g. And the Lie algebra of this group is precisely the g invariant vector fields on the formal disk. So So again, we'll just say that the group that acts here now is AutoNG. So those automorphisms commuting with the action of G, and the Lie algebra here is W. I'm going to call this W n plus G. These are G invariant vector fields on OX hat, on the spectrum of OX hat, and or OP hat, I guess. In this sense, inside of all vector fields, on all, so these are vanishing at the origin. These are all vector fields. So all G invariant vector fields. Okay, and you get the same picture now. So you can form. The only other thing that remains to be shown is that, whereas before the full automorphism group of the formal disk acted on the vertex algebra omega hat n, now this twisted version of the group acts on the twisted module omega hat g. So I'm running out of time here, so. Again, theorem, there exists Lie algebra Hom, rho g from WNG to endomorphisms of this twisted module, which exponentiates over the positive part. And this exponentiates to automorphisms of the twisted module structure. Okay, so now just play the same game. Let's form the sheaf over the fixed point locus, which is, again, you just take the associated bundle under this group. I can, again, this is going to be a D module over the fixed point locus. So let's take omega bar, chi rho g, g alpha, to be flat sections. Okay, so now I have a sheaf on the fixed point locus, and what I want to do finally is push it forward to the variety. So now construct a sheaf on X itself, which is just the push forward of omega bar G alpha. All right, so we now obtain a bunch of these sheaves, which are supported along fixed point loci in the variety X. And we like to say something like that these are sheaves of twisted modules over the original Pyodrem complex. And something like this is indeed true. The twisting part is obtained by defining an action, certain equivariant structures on the Pyodrem complex itself, obviously, but also a suitable action on these different modules sitting along these different fixed point loci. So I'm not going to explain this to in great detail because I'm out of time, but I'm going to say that there exists a section which I'll denote curly Y upper G of sheaf Hom, so maps from the chiral-dram complex to these twisted sectors, which you should think of as a sheafification of the twisted module structure. And this satisfies a bunch of equivariance conditions, but when you pass the cohomology, so this induces an operation YG on cohomology, which is a mess from the cohomology of the chiral-Gram complex, which we know is a vertex algebra, to global endomorphisms of this thing. Okay, satisfying all the right things. So now finally, in the last 2 minutes, let me just say that how these things contain information about the geometry, the orbifold geometry of X mod G. Okay, so now let's define the orbifold Fock space to be, well, I'm going to take a direct sum over all conjugacy classes in the group G of the centralizer invariant parts of the cohomologies of these twisted sectors. Now, I haven't explained how the centralizers act on these cohomologies and the sheaves themselves, but they do, and we can take this direct sum. In particular, in the vacuum sector, you're taking invariance with respect to all of G, so the G invariance of the vertex algebra is sitting inside there. This is our orbifold Fock space, and you can show, so H orb carries something called a BRC charge, a BRC operator, Q, and the cohomology of this orbifold Fock space with respect to the operator Q, this differential Q, is as graded vector spaces isomorphic to Chern Ron orbifold cohomology of the orbifold X mod G. And the reason, I mean, the one weird thing about orbifold cohomology is that it comes with a bunch of gradings, which are quite strange, these gradings by age or by fermionic charge or whatever. What happens here is that these gradings are naturally induced in these twisted modules from the vertex algebra point of view. So if you use Haisheng Li's, you know, reconstruction theorem in the twisted case, you see that the vacuum states in the twisted sectors get precisely shifted by the age or fermionic charge. And without telling you what the orbifold elliptic genus is, because it's, again, even worse to write down than the original thing, let me just say that it can, again, be obtained as the partition function of this orbifold Fock space. So the orbifold elliptic genus was defined first for global orbifolds, I guess, by Borisov and Liebgober, and then I think in the more general case, maybe by, in a paper of Liu Dong and someone else. So this thing is, again, a series in two variables, and this again can be written down as a trace of this operator. So these are the induced Virasoro actions in the twisted sectors and the induced actions of the fermionic charge operator. Okay, let me just stop there.